Great. Well, it's such a joy to be with you this evening to get to continue on in our series in Ephesians. We're looking at the book of Ephesians this term and kind of journeying through it together, particularly focusing on the topic of the church. So we've entitled the series A Chosen People. If you're new or it's your first time here, my name's Emily. I'm one of the student pastors, and it's great to have you with us. And just to kind of bring you up to speed, we're now into chapter 3 of Ephesians. So we've had a really great time kind of digging into it and exploring more of what this letter to the church in Ephesus was all about. And we're going to kind of just launch straight in this evening with chapter 3. And I'm going to speak briefly from the first part. And then in your Bible studies, you're going to look at the second part. And then we're actually going to come back together at the end tonight and have a bit of a time of kind of corporate response off the back of what we've looked at. So if you do have a Bible with you, do open it up to Ephesians chapter 3. And now if you're here last week, you might remember Aidan was kind of preaching specifically about what it is to be in Christ. He talked about how through Jesus, we've been made alive in Christ, been brought out of sin and into Christ, raised from spiritual death into spiritual life, being brought into this newness of life through Christ. But at the end of chapter 2, I just want to read a tiny bit of where we got to in chapter 2, because I think it kind of sets us up for what we're going to look at in chapter 3. So I'm just going to read from verse 19 quickly to 22. I didn't tell the screen people this, sorry, but if you want to put it on, come. Visuals, screen people, I don't know why I said that. Thanks, Izzy. Okay, chapter 2, verse 19, here we go. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I'm just going to pause there. I want everyone to just take a moment to look around the room. Just, you can look at all look at each other. Just look around the room. Because looking around, all these wonderful people around you, you are a holy temple. Us gathered here together, we are being built up together, not just as individuals, but together kind of as St. Aldate's, but also with St. Ebb's, OCC, Trinity, St. Andrew's, all the other churches in the city and around the world, we are being built together as God's dwelling place. So just turn to one another and say, we are God's dwelling place. Awesome, right. And so just hold that in your mind, because I think that's pretty cool. And basically, I want us to kind of hold on to that truth as we kind of journey into Ephesians chapter 3, because it's sort of what Paul's building on as he continues on in this letter, and this kind of amazing reality of what it is to be collectively the dwelling place for God. So in chapter 3, Paul basically gets, you might have noticed in this letter, he sort of just goes for it and just starts speaking in kind of big trains of thought, because he's got so much he wants to share with the church. But he uses this phrase in verse 1 and verse 14 for this reason. So he's sort of making a point for this reason, and he kind of goes off for a little side tangent and then comes back to for this reason again and prays this amazing prayer in verse 14 for the church. So you're going to look at that prayer in your small groups, but just as we kind of gather here now, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what he's saying in the first 13 verses. So I'm just going to read those verses to you, and then we'll get into it. So chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, then this is the kind of side bit, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it is now, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, to not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Great. So there's a lot in there, but I just want to make two simple points. Firstly, the mystery of the gospel, and secondly, the mission of the church. It's not maybe the trendiest show out there, but any Morse fans in the room, or Lewis? A few of you? Yeah, Callum's proudly proclaiming that. If you've been around Oxford for any length of time, you'll probably be aware that there's a mystery detective program that gets filmed here in Oxford. Sadly, a lot of people seem to always die in Oxford, and this basically is a detective program about solving mysteries called Lewis. But when we kind of think of a mystery, that might be what you think of, a kind of detective sort of thing. But the mystery here that Paul is referring to actually has nothing to do with a case that needs solving. Our English word for the word mystery is actually quite different to the Greek word here used in the text that Paul is saying when he says in verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. The mystery made known to him by revelation. This has nothing to do with something kind of puzzling or dark and hidden that can't be seen or kind of has to be figured out. But the Greek word mysterion, I think that's how you pronounce it, is actually quite different. Although it still refers to a secret, it refers to a truth in which someone is to be initiated. And so kind of, I guess, like most things in life, we can easily start to play the sort of comparison game, you know, comparing ourselves to other people. And it can easily happen in church. We can look around and think, oh my goodness, these people, they know so much more about God than me, or they're way more into worship than me. We can start kind of comparing one another, or instead of kind of spurring each other on to pursue God, thinking that for some reason he loves that person more than me. And that's just a load of rubbish, because the kind of mystery of knowing God, this isn't some kind of secret thing that only a few can find out about. But the mystery here that Paul's talking about, although it's something that is beyond kind of our own discovery, it is something hidden. It's nothing to do with kind of a secret mystery for only a few people. It's a mystery that has been revealed by God, and so now openly belongs to everyone in the whole church. And so what is this mystery that has been revealed by the grace of God to Paul? Well, we read in verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. So the great mystery, and this is what Aidan was preaching on a bit last week, is that not just Jewish people, but all people, the Gentiles, now have access to the Messiah. Through Jesus, the veil has been torn. Everyone can come in to God's family. And this is so important to grasp, like kind of how amazing this is, that the gospel and knowledge of God that was entrusted to Israel, that we read about all throughout the Old Testament, all of those promises are now available to everyone. Through Jesus, God is bringing everyone into his family, making that possible. And that's this mystery of the gospel. And it's a wonderful thing that is available to us all. But secondly, the mystery of the gospel, we also have the mission of the church. So Paul sort of talks about the mystery of the gospel, but then he goes on to make this link between the good news that's been revealed to him. It's been revealed to him in order that he may then communicate with people around him about it. In verse 7, he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. But he then goes on to make a link that this gift of God's amazing mystery to him has been revealed to him. Verse 8, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was past kept hidden in God who created all things. So this mystery was revealed to him. Paul was the one who had been previously so opposed to Christians, he'd murdered them. But this gift and this mystery was revealed to him in order to show that he may then kind of be the one that uses that grace to preach to the Gentiles. So that's all of us, the boundless riches of Christ. And Paul, like, always just continually sees what a huge privilege it is that God should use a man like him, a murderer of Christians, someone who was so far from God, to proclaim the mysteries of God. First, God made known the mystery of his plan to Paul, but then secondly, he commissions him to preach the gospel to everyone around the world. And he's just so aware of the magnitude of what's on offer to here to us, of kind of what the mission of the church actually is. Verse 10 in this passage, I've just been loving this week. Do look at it now, and I encourage you to kind of think more about this. But he says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That word manifold, it actually means many colored, and it was used to describe things like flowers, crowns, embroidered cloth, and even woven carpets. And actually, it's a similar word to the same word in the Old Testament that was used to describe the robe that Jacob gave to his son Joseph in Genesis, this manifold wisdom. John Stott, when he comments, a commentator on this passage, says, "The church as a multicultural community is like a beautiful tapestry. Its members come from a wide range of colorful backgrounds. No other human community resembles it. Its diversity and harmony are unique. It is God's new society. And the many-colored fellowship of the church is a reflection of the many-colored wisdom of God." But if that's not enough, this kind of beautiful picture of the manifold colors of the church, the kind of variety and different facets of it, he then goes on to say that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Basically, this mystery of Jesus that's been revealed, and then revealed, that no one knew kind of outside of what God was doing about what was going to happen. It talks in 1 Peter 1 about even angels long to look in onto these things, that actually God in his wisdom has hidden things, not only from us, but from the kind of heavenly realms, from the angels and the demons. But through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is on display. It's kind of quite a big thing to get your head around, but basically knowing that the heavenly realms, sort of the wider vision of who God is, that there's heavenly beings that look in on how we actually follow Jesus in the church, that they're actually glorifying God more because of what they see us doing in the church. That's mad. But from this passage, we can see how central the church is to God's mission, that the global church is part of God's redemptive plan for all of history. And it's not just about kind of us as individuals, what we do for God, as important as that is. It's actually about what we do as his dwelling place, as the joint body of Christ. Like I said at the beginning, when you looked around and looked at one another, that actually it's about what happens amongst us as the church. And, you know, tonight, whether you feel really close to God or really far from him or kind of somewhere in between, I just take great comfort in knowing that God is at work in the church, and that the manifold wisdom is on display because of his grace, because he is always for the church. Just to conclude that, verse 11, it says, according to his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And hopefully as you kind of zoom into the prayer that Paul goes on to pray, you'll see that the mystery of the gospel and the mission of the church are all bound up in the Holy Spirit's work in filling us and building us up in the love of God found in Christ Jesus. Let me just end by reading the last two verses of that passage, and then I'll let you get into the prayer because it's very good. Verses 12 to 13, it's in him and through faith in him that we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Let me pray, and then we'll come back together towards the end of the night to kind of gather for some ministry time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these amazing truths, and I just pray for your hand to be upon us now as we continue to look at the scriptures together. I pray that you would speak to us and just help us to kind of take hold of these truths, not only in our hearts, but in our minds, and let us really dig deeper into what it is to be your holy dwelling place, to be your church here tonight. Amen.